Okay, let's get started. Apologize for the technical delay. Call this order and approval of tonight's agenda. Ms. Terminelli, second by Ms. Curran. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Mr. Haggard is traveling. He will not be with us tonight. Nancy is in Florida, which she is.
She's there.
Okay. I'd like to have an approval of the minutes from July 29th. Ms. Curran, second by Mr. Perkins. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Tonight we have the 2018 audit final results from Nicole Ruff. Nicole, you can come right up here if you'd like.
Yeah, everyone should have a audit presentation on your Google Drive, and then there was a hard copy also distributed prior to the meeting. My name is Nicole Ruff, and I am the senior manager on your external audit of your financial statements, and I am here tonight to present those results. My contact information, along with Luke Malecki, who's the partner on the audit, is also on the last page. So if you ever have any questions or if you think of something after the meeting that you wanted to ask, feel free to reach out to us, email us, give us a phone call. We'd be happy to answer any of the questions that you have. As far as the timeline for the audit, we did a little bit of planning in December and January, and we came out, we were actually able to come out a little bit earlier this year. We were out in mid-June, and we have finished all of our audit field work, and we've actually had the reports reviewed by both of the partners that need to review them, and we do plan on issuing at the end of this week. So when I go through all of this, these are the expected results that you will get at the end of the week. I'll note that due to the efforts of the treasurer's office, we were able to get in here earlier, finish the audit earlier. The reports are dated 2 weeks earlier than last year, and we're actually issuing about a month earlier than we did in the previous year. The first slide is the products of our audit. So the main one is our financial statements, and that's really what you hire us for, is to put an opinion on your financial statements. We do plan on issuing a unqualified opinion on your governmental activities, your business type activities, the major funds, and the aggregate remaining fund information. A unqualified opinion is a clean opinion. Similarly to last year, there will be a qualified opinion on your aggregate discretely presented component units. The soil and water district is not audited. That is the reason for that. Also, similarly to last year, there is going to be an emphasis of matter paragraph within your opinion due to a restatement of net position. That restatement is not due to an error. It is due to the implementation of GASB statement number 75, which requires all entities that have that pay other post-employment benefits, so your health insurance to your retirees in retirement. Previously, that liability was being amortized over a period of 30 years. It was required that that entire liability be recorded on the financial statement. So if you looked at your December 31st, 2017 financial statements and compared them to the beginning balances of January 1st, 2018 of where we started, you'll see $102 million difference in increase in your liabilities due to that OPEB restatement. The other item that we do in addition to the financial statement audit is that we audit your federal programs that you receive. So you have a CEFA, your schedule of expenditures of federal awards, and based on a risk assessment and monetary thresholds, we were required to audit 5 programs this year: your SNAP, CDBG, highway planning and construction, child support, and medical assistance, and we did not have any findings in those areas. Similarly, in your financial statements, we did not have any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. If we did, we would have to discuss them with you today, and they would have to be included within your financial statements. We will be issuing an auditor communication letter, and we've already gone through our required communications with the audit committee so that they can make their recommendation to you. We will issue a management letter that just has some other recommendations. There are some new GASBs coming out there that are going to, similar to GASB 75 this year, there's some new GASBs next year that are going to impact your financial statements. We also issue a Department of Transportation report, and that report is also considered unqualified. There is a small item in there that of the recommendation to code the expenditures to a different code, but it's not material to the report itself. We'll just briefly go through our third party description of your financial statement updates. I think that you're probably all familiar with where the year ended, but I'll just briefly go through it so you can hear it from the auditors as well. On page 3 of the slides shows your general fund historical perspective of where your revenues and expenditures have been. The expenditures or the revenues exceeded your expenditures this year by $7 million in the general fund, so that your general fund balance increased by $7 million, primarily due to the impact of additional sales tax that you received in the current year, which was much higher than the previous year by $4.6 million, and savings in the expenditures from the budget of about $3 million is where that $7 million came from. The next two slides go through just a historical perspective of specifically where your revenues and expenditures have been over the past 5 years. The most significant items that you will see on the revenue side is that increase in the real properties, the sales tax. That is that yellow top portion, which increased from $58.5 million to $60 million, offset by there was a decrease in state and federal aid. So overall, the increase in your revenues was about $1.6 million from the previous year due to that sales tax offset by the timing of the state and federal aid payments. There were some federal aid payments that you received in the previous year that were non-reoccurring that you'll see on the expenditure side of as well, that there was a decrease, and then your public safety expenditures also decreased due to that. There was one-time purchases of equipment in the previous year. Page 5 is your total expenses, decrease of $1.7 million. You'll also see the impact of the sales tax in the expenditures as well, because there's that sales tax distribution. So your expenditures actually increased about $1 million in your general government support due to that sales tax distribution. There was savings in prisoner boarding, technical equipment, and in most significantly in the health benefits to the general. Overall, on page 6, this shows your where your fund balance is at the end of the year, your assigned and your unassigned, and then any assigned unappropriated fund balance. So for St. Lawrence County, the assigned unappropriated is all of your assigned fund balance, as there is no fund balance appropriated for the next year's budget. We, on this chart, it is shown against your current year expenses and transfers out, so you're at 11.5% of that fund balance to that amount. If you were to compare it to what your policy says, where you compare it to actual budget, that number would actually be a little bit lower because the budget's going to be a little bit higher. That's all of the information that I have for you. If you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you now.
Any questions for Ms. Ruff? Well, to summarize, we've got a clean opinion, unqualified, no material weaknesses. We've increased the general fund by about $7 million. $3 million of it is $4 million of sales tax and $3 million less in expenditures. So we're off to a good start. I want to thank Renee and Debbie and your staff for cooperating with these folks and making things easy for them. Really appreciate it. Would you like to make any statement?
I just like to thank Nicole for all of her hard work with us. This is our third or fourth year into it, and it wasn't always this. It wasn't always good news like this, and things didn't always go so smoothly at the beginning. So they've been really good to work with and pretty patient, honestly. So I appreciate everything.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Okay, so next up we have resolutions from our highway, Mr. Chambers. The first one is mending resolution number 318-2019, approving federal aid local project agreement for the construction inspection phase for South Shore Road over Oswegatchie River, PIN number 3340940, PIN number 775371. Moved by Mr. Denisha, seconded by Ms. Curran. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, thank you. We did just approve this resolution. However, in going through the contractual items necessary to be listed in the resolution, we came across the statement that is a new statement that's new for Bridge New York programs, that we have to say that we will begin construction no later than 24 months from the award of the construction phase and have it completed within 30 months. This project we plan on going to bid within the next couple months, and so we will well be within that window, but we have to state that such in the resolution. Sorry for the missing that statement in the contract.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Our next resolution is authorization to fill a claim in the Navistar MaxForce engine settlement. Moved by Mr. Lightfoot, seconded by Mr. Forsythe. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, we received a notice of a class action lawsuit against Navistar Incorporated for engines, basically the heavy duty trucks that were built between 2011 and 2014 with the MaxForce engine. We have one unit within our inventory of trucks that has this system. It's a system that would take the exhaust and basically recirculate the exhaust back through the engine to help clean up the emissions. The courts have found that that could have been done in a better manner. They have a proposal of giving a $10,000 rebate on a vehicle if we purchase a new vehicle through Navistar. Okay. And that will be on top of whatever state bid or whatever bid price. They have to take that off in addition. So,
okay. Any questions for Mr. Chambers? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Our third resolution for highway is authorization to fill a motor equipment operator position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Forsythe, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, this position became vacant within the department due to the employee taking a position with one of our towns. We currently have 14 motor equipment operators positions in the budget. And, as I've stated before, our number of employees is basically at the bare minimum, and we could certainly use this filled as soon as possible.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Chambers? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay. Summit project update?
Yes. And I'll try to be as brief as possible. There's a lot of items. In the facilities area, we had a roof repair project at the main shop, which is now completed. As far as the outpost facilities that was approved, we've met with the architect. We've had a couple different meetings. We have some initial sketches. We've marked those up, and they're back in the hands of the architect, so that's moving along quite well. As far as our road projects, we have 19 major road projects. Out of the 19, we have the we have 11 with the first course or recycling done, and out of those 11 with the first course done, we have 4 with the final course in place at this time. As far as the bridge and large culvert projects, County Road 35 bridge has been paved. Guide rail is yet to be installed, but that should be open by Labor Day. Sullivan Road project should be open by mid-September. Browse Road Bridge, we should have that open by mid-November. Those are basically your CHIPS and local project-funded structures. The South Shore Bridge that we just spoke about, we should have a bid opening in October. County Road 17 Bridge New York / Culvert New York program should have a bid opening in spring of 2020. County, the four bridges that are in our preservation package, which are County Road 17, County Road 8, County Road 3, County Road 46, should be bid out in October. Brown's Bridge project should be bid in the winter of 2020. And the Depot Street project is in the still in the design phase. And the Telkville bid for the steel should be done in November. That's our major project. Then we have our other maintenance operations, such as sand production. Sand production's done for the upcoming winter and such.
Good. Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning these projects? How many miles are you recycling?
Our road project's about approximately 30 miles.
30 miles. Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. Next up is our treasurer, Renee Cole, and she has a resolution for authorization to fill a title searcher position in the treasurer's office. Moved by Mr. Burke, second by Ms. Curran. Ms. Renee.
Thank you. Okay. So this resolution is an authorization to fill a title searcher position in the treasurer's department. I brought our former title searcher, she's the reason for our vacancy, with me today. This is Emily Wilson. She was promoted to our property tax law enforcement supervisor position. I'm going to let Emily speak to it since she actually held the title previously.
Okay. So the title searcher is an invaluable resource for our foreclosure process. This position works year-round on the title searches in preparation for the public auction of real property. It saves the county money by maintaining files on searches for repeaters, allowing us to bring forward the work from the last search performed. It is an asset to the real property office, planning office, county attorney's office, as well as the board of legislators by helping clear up back titles, resolve plotting problems, research old abstract maps and deeds, and working closely with the map techs, clearing up any issues. It also provides coverage for our treasurer's office, answering taxpayer inquiries related to taxes, taking payments at the window, and calculating delinquent taxes for property closings. So.
Any questions for Ms. Wilson? There must be some. Mr. Forsythe.
Yeah, thank you. How long does it take someone to get up to speed on being able to handle all that?
For the title searcher, for a trainee, is that to teach them? Okay. So I guess it would depend on their background. If we were able to get a title searcher that has done it before, very quickly. Just it's basically a couple different forms that we fill out compared to an abstractor. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I'll add that it's very hard to find a trained title searcher.
And I'll second that.
Yeah. So.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Renee, you had some discussion?
Yeah, I was just going to update, I guess, speak a little bit. I haven't in a couple of months at it. I wanted, Nicole has already left, but I wanted to thank her for coming up to do the presentation. I think it's really valuable for you to hear from them directly. Drescher and Malecki have been great partners in assisting the county to get back on track with things. They're specialists at municipal audit work, and they continue to be a valuable resource for us, for the county as a whole, and for my office as well. They came on board in the 2015 audit shortly after I came to this office in 2016, when we discovered just how far off course our bank reconciliation process had gone. A lot of time, a huge amount of effort, and some serious resources were directed at getting the process back on track. In June 2019,
I'm sorry, the June 2019 bank reconciliation summary is on Google Drive for you. And it's been a year now since we adopted the bank rec policy, and things are running as they should be. To continue, Drescher and Malecki have put us through our paces every year when they come to do our audit. It's something that I value. It makes us more efficient and effective. And you know you've been audited when you go through their audit with them. Through this process, they've helped us to continue to move forward as a county, and I wanted to recognize them for their contribution. And after that, I'd like to take a moment, I guess at this time, to update you on some of the successes that I see that the Treasurer's Office has seen in the past couple of years. As some of you may recall, in the not-too-distant past, we didn't have this kind of good news at audit time. This is the second year in a row that we've wrapped our audit not only on time, but a few weeks prior to the deadline. Additionally, we had no audit findings. It's something we work very hard for. The second year in a row with no significant deficiencies and no material weaknesses, and I'll reiterate what I said last year at this time, a clean audit will continue to be our goal going forward. 2005 was the last clean audit prior to the 2017 audit, so two in a row. I'd like to give us a pat on the back, and I'll point at Deb over there. She carries a lion's share of dealing with the auditors on a daily basis for the month that they're here. So we've done a lot of work on our internal processes and procedures. Focusing on our internal work product has not only improved workflow, but has allowed us to accomplish the following. We've prepared and filed the 2017 and 2018 AUD, that's the annual update document, which is the report that we're required to file with New York State by May 1st. We've done it on time for the last 2 years. That wasn't the case in 2016 or 15. We've also laid the groundwork for timely filings to continue in the future by a lot of the restructuring and work that we've done on our processes. We've hired an armored car service to safely transport cash collections to our bank. We're now performing timely bank reconciliations. Most accounts are reconciled monthly and the others are reconciled quarterly. We've initiated quarterly off-book account reconciliations. That's something that was not done previously. We've hired a firm to prepare liquidity analysis, and we've updated our investment policy. We've worked with our banks to negotiate better rates on our cash balances and are now purchasing treasuries in order to maximize the county's interest earnings. So this is progress, and we've come a long way. We have more to do, but we're on the right path. So I'd just like to celebrate some of the positive things that I think we've been able to do and accomplish. When I started in this office as deputy treasurer, this county was still holding its own property tax foreclosure auction, and we ran it all in-house. We hired an outside auctioneer for the day. While it was a very well-done auction, we struggled finding an auctioneer. We did an RFP from auction companies in early 2018, and via that process, we selected Auctions International to perform a real property tax foreclosure auction. The 2018 auction was a success. The 2019 auction will be held on September 14th this year at 10 a.m. at the Lockwood Arena in Ogdensburg, with registration beginning at 8. So a little auction update for you as well. This is some similar to information I gave you last year at the same meeting. The order for closure was signed by the judge on July 16th. At the time, there were 215 properties on the list. We've added 29 parcels from last year's auction and have since subtracted 16 properties due to bankruptcy. And 52 parcels have been redeemed, and that's in the redemption period that ended on August 15th. We have 174 parcels in the auction book. Last year there was 187. 2017 we had 167. So that's in the ballpark still. Auctions International this year, they have posted all properties with auction sale signs. They're hosting a pre-auction bidders seminar September 3rd at the Lockwood Arena at 6 p.m. The auction book is now available online at auctionsinternational.com. Each town and village will receive one booklet via U.S. mail shortly. They were in the mail today. Open houses at 10 properties are going to be held on September 7th and 8th. There were 6 properties in the village of Messina, 1 in the town of Brazier, 1 in the town of Parrishville, and 1 in the town of DePoyster, 1 in the town of Morristown. As a final note, I emailed updated sales tax earlier today. That's where I'm at.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Very impressive, I must say. Very impressive. I just want to say that the work that is coming out of the treasurer's office today and for the past couple of years has been way up here. You have done, and your deputy, Debbie, have done, and your staff, by all means your staff, have done an outstanding job, and I want to commend you for that and your staff for that. You have turned things around for us. You are doing things that we've asked you to do, and actually we don't even have to check up on you because we know you're doing them. And that's a little bit different than what we experienced before. We're getting good information. You're doing a great job with the budget and following through with that. And the property sales, that's a whole other accomplishment, if you will. So congratulations. You deserve our thanks as well as our congratulations. You're doing a great job. Please don't stop. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the support as well.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Renee. Okay, next up is Emergency Services, Keith Zimmerman. And the resolution is authorizing the issuance of a negative declaration related to the construction of an emergency communication tower as part of the emergency radio dispatch system in the town of Governor in St. Lawrence County. Mr. Denisius, second by Ms. Curran and Mr. Leader. Mr. Zimmerman.
I have no good news for you. This is spending your money. So. We were a few, just last month, I think we had some other resolutions for you for Hammond and for Waddington. We did not expect to get to Governor until early next year, but the environmental review by some national groups concluded swiftly, and so we're in a position to move forward. Let me just cover a couple of basic points for you folks. We're going to be utilizing an existing solid waste transfer site to locate this tower pond. It will be in the northwest corner of that site, west of the existing service drive and the solid waste management facilities on the site. There is already a graded and planned access drive coming down the hill, approximate to the entrance to the site. The tower height is fully yet to be determined, but we understand now that it will certainly be higher than 200 feet, but less than 300, so it will feature an elevated warning light. There are no residences immediate proximate to the site. A question was asked in the pre-committee, there are no issues with flight corridors for the commercial air carriers, nor for the corridors associated with the Fort Drum operations. And as a reminder, in some previously issued bids, we have already requested the steel for this site. The generators and the equipment sheds are already ordered for this site as well. So while it wasn't anticipated, we expect to go to construction in Governor as well this year. And this is a negative declaration recommendation. I should note that Governor does have zoning that does regulate height of towers, but they've always treated the county's use of this property as being sovereignly immune under the zoning code, and they don't issue any permits. They do no inspections. It's all done by the New York State Department of State for the county government.
Any questions for Mr. Zimmerman? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Thank you, Keith. Next up, our county administrator's report. And
Patrick's going to come down.
Okay. Patrick. So the resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a lease agreement with the Cornell Cooperative Extension for office space at the Human Services Center. Mr. Denisius, second by Ms. Terminelli and Ms. Curran. Mr. Ames.
So we've recently secured a significant grant from the state of New York to administer the SNAP education program. for the North Country region, so actually six counties. This is a five-year award that will begin October 1st of 2019. And so it's, you're very familiar with the kind of work we do, but this is nutrition education, obesity prevention, outreach, that again will target six counties. So it's a significant size. It includes a total of 9.5 employees across the region. Five of them will be located in this county, and of those five, four will have program responsibilities, educational outreach. And what we'd like to do is house the program staff, the team leader, and the nutritionist at HSC so they can be closer to our county partners. We do a tremendous amount of work with DSS, Public Health, Office for the Aging. Again, these programs target children, income-eligible families, senior citizens, so it's a natural fit for us to place them there. And a lot of our education, a lot of our teaching happens at the Career Center at that location. So we approached the county about that arrangement, and that's the resolution you have in front of you.
Any questions for Mr. Ames? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Ames. Patrick?
Just a few things. I'll go over the recommendations now.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Included in your agenda is the annual vacancy review analysis and recommendations. And I think last year I provided to you a verbal update on the totals, what that analysis looked like, and what our goals were for the coming year. What you have before you is that again, only in written form this time, as well as some recommendations. So I wanted to walk through them, take your questions, and then also talk to you about the recommendations going forward. So as you can see, we are not very far off, you know, over the 1 year, just under 6%, and over the average, just below 5%. So I think it's not a tremendously different year in filling positions and considering requests from departments. I think there was a sense at the beginning of the year that that number had significantly increased. And I don't think that's what you're seeing when you look at these. But when you look at the way that these positions have been filled, I think that's where you'll see a little bit of the difference. So at the beginning of the analysis, I indicated to you the two governing resolutions that guide the work that I do and that makes its way before you for consideration. One is the origin of the Vacancy Review Committee, and then a few years later, an affirmation of that, and a definite decision by the board on how long those decisions, those vacancies would stay open. What was allowed with the committee was both any type of request, and then the board could change that request or hold to the policy of the board. So you see here the types of fills that have been authorized over the last year. That 59% equates to about 100 positions. Now I think you, as well as the vacancy committee, and all of you have taken a turn serving on it, have heard very compelling arguments which generated the support both at the committee level and then at the board level for positions being filled. And I think initially trying to hold to the policy that you provide to me, that 60 days was the goal. However, in leaner times with position reductions, I think consideration has been granted for immediate fills. And I don't think that's unwise, because the reality is having those positions filled quickly when we can get the work done at a variety of reimbursement or at a total county cost, the work needs to be done. And I think that's what you're hearing from departments. I think it took a few years, but departments became much better about looking carefully at positions, both when they became vacant, was the title still appropriate, and can I wait? And most of your departments came to you with at least a 30, but mostly a 60-day wait. And if positions were fully funded, it made obviously the conversation quite a bit easier. But when you look at that 60 days vacant, we're at 16%. So by all accounts, I think that's certainly not a percentage that we'd be proud of with it being the policy, but I think there's a number of reasons why that's the where we landed this year. So I don't think it's something not to be concerned with. I also gave you on this analysis the best performance year, and I want to qualify what that means. So because the policy of the board is 60 days, the first two categories, I gave you the lowest percentage. right? So we wouldn't want to, with the policy of the board, fill it immediately. We wouldn't want to approve 30 days. So that 30% in 2016-17 and the 8% in 15-16 were your lowest years. The two that follow that for 60 days and then on down, but 90 days, I gave you the highest years because those were the goals. That's the policy of the board. So that 60 days in 2016 and 17 was at its highest at 25%. So I think in considering the current policy of the board, we may need to revisit the board's policy on positions. I think looking at some numbers, having some data to consider, and I'm not recommending what that number is. I'm just suggesting that we take a look at it. Because going from over 1,000 positions, 1,100 I think at our high, or 11, maybe just under 1,100, now down to 789, it's a different environment. And some of those positions we've even come to you and asked for an overlap in people leaving with lots of institutional knowledge being filled before they even left. So I don't even know what category we'd put that in, but it's expensive. But the work and the services need to be provided. So I think this gives you the data to give some thought to how you'd rather see this occur, or if you'd like to stay right where we are. But that position was taken in 2015, and I would argue we're in a different place in 2019. So I think as we work toward budget, as I have new position requests, as I have net zeros but different looking positions, I think it's a discussion to take place as the year continues and as you see what the budget looks like for 2020. Are there any questions on the percentages or the numbers for the last year? Okay. Not to duplicate positions or percentages here, I did want you just to know, because it's, I think, something I'm very proud of departments for doing. There are 20 positions you took a look at this year that were abolish and create. So that was a net zero as far as position counts in departments. I think that's important to note. There are three recommendations that followed, and then two practices that I'd like to continue. So the first is something, if you sat in vacancy in the last year and Highway happened to have a position before you, you heard this discussion and were an active participant in understanding the challenges that department faces. So CSEA, as I've described in the recommendation, has a policy just for Highway and how Highway considers positions. And that's the only reason that I would bring you a department by itself, because I have 25 departments who have positions. And as you sit here every month and hear them, they all need them very much. But Highway has to follow a position, has to follow a process in their hiring. And it can be a very long process that can take as long as 4 months. And in the time we're in right now, that can be the whole construction season. So what I'm asking for you to allow is the same process at the start for the first position. Don will come through the normal process. But as he goes through the scoring and the evaluation of all the folks interested in the positions, all the way down to the last position, which is a laborer, that I be authorized to approve those fills when he follows the civil service process, which he does. So you'll still approve the beginning of the process, and anytime you're interested, I can bring you the update on how many positions have been affected and how expensive it is for you and all that valuable information, but so that he can move through the process without delay. And should we, as we begin negotiations this year, change that process for the CSEA contract, I would remove this recommendation and ask that he resume the process that all departments undertake. Are there any questions about that?
So will other departments argue that this is special treatment?
I'm sure. But they are not prescribed in CSEA contract for how they fill their positions.
So this is the difference, then?
For me, this is the difference. I welcome your questions. I'll continue on through the recommendations. The second one is one that I think isn't all the way back to the beginning of the process, but around 2014-2015, this, I think, went by the wayside. This would be considering allowing the county administrator, once a position's budgeted and fully funded, not necessarily by grant, not necessarily by Medicaid, but if it's fully funded, so there's no impact on the levy, my request would be that you authorize me to allow that position to be filled and to give you an update on that. if the funding source changes, they have to come back to you to consider if you want to keep the position at all. But a position that has no financial impact, I think that at this point you should make the safe assumption that each position upon vacancy is reviewed. Should it exist? Should it be the same title? Should the work be different? I would ask that you consider that recommendation for 100% funded positions to be filled. That is a practice that was in place for a few years and then went away.
Any discussion?
Any questions on that one?
Any discussion about that? My only concern would be the positions are 100% funding is supposed to cover the health care part also, correct?
All benefits, yes.
But since we're self-funded, it may not cover the full extent of that. If we're doing like liver transplants or something like this, you know, right?
Possibly.
The draw.
Possibly. Okay. We could bring that to you from a healthcare perspective.
Mr. Leader.
I think it's a very good idea. I think under the present administration, things are running very well, very efficient. And I think in that case, it wouldn't affect our bottom line, and it makes a lot of sense. I would definitely be in support of that recommendation.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead.
The last recommendation of a new practice that I would recommend, and I think all of these we can go through to see if there's any concern or if you want to do any of them, would be to consider a process that was undertaken probably in excess of a decade ago. And that would be the practice of reducing the vacancy resolutions as you see them now, one by one by one. And if you look at our year's total, besides the heat positions that sometimes come through in clumps, that you consider one resolution on it per month at the board meeting that lists all of the positions to be considered. This would potentially reduce resolutions from 168 down to 12. So the way this process would work is at each committee, you would still see and hear from all the departments. You would see the vacancy form, which now you see a resolution and a vacancy form. The vacancy form has all of the details, all of the data, all of the cost. The resolution, as you currently see it, every resolution, by way of trying to standardize things, has the two whereases, if you've noticed at the beginning, are the same. They indicate the governing policy. Then you get some details on why it's vacant and why it's important. But that's also provided to you on the vacancy form. And then you see the authorization and the now therefore be it resolved to allow the position to be filled. So that would still occur, but it would occur on a monthly basis. So each position, we'd still have the vacancy committee review them all. They would still come to you as info items. And at the county administrator's report, I would ask if there were concerns or objections to any of the positions that were considered. And in that method, you would move them forward. So after finance, so a night like tonight, you would hear the resolutions or the vacancies that are requested to be filled. And then in your board packet, you would see one resolution, which would still have the two whereases that identify the governing policy, and then a request with a list. And we would fill that in each month with department, all the pertinent information, department, cost, title, the way it's being filled. Often you see whether they're provisional or permanent or temporary. You would still get all of the vital data to make an informed decision. In this way, we would reduce resolutions. I didn't run that percentage, but dramatically. So those are the three recommendations that I would say I've thought about for at least 2 years. The two last items indicated would be practices to maintain. And they would include the rotation of legislators. I think that you've all garnered additional information that you wouldn't have come by. We try to accommodate schedules as best we can, but I think every legislator usually more than once has an opportunity to sit in on vacancy. I would recommend we continue that practice, as well as when a probationary position or probationary fill is not successful, currently you allow that to be refilled with the same resolution. I would request that be continued as well. I'll take any questions.
Mr. Urquhart.
Mr. Chairman, Ruth, you're here every day steering the ship, and the ship's heading in the right direction. I think that what you've done here is you've highlighted the things that are going well,
and support those things to continue. You've stayed in line with the collective bargaining agreements, which is very important. And I think you've identified the things that need to change because we are a moving target with the different financial conditions that we've adhered. So I fully support all of these recommendations.
Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, I agree with Tony. The other thing is with the legislators present, the two legislators that attend each one, do you really feel that is a necessity? I've been to several of them. We rely on you to make the, you know, we're looking from the inside out, or the outside in, I guess, trying to figure out what's going on. You know it inside and out. Your committee does. Do you really believe the two?
I do, because I think that the information that's shared there usually extends past the position. Sometimes, and what I've been encouraging department heads to do is to bring either upcoming retirements or changes in the department. So you get a variety of information that I think you're right. I think that there is a reliance on administration to give you the background, identify the concerns, and certainly help out with the decision making. But I think getting that information to you doesn't always happen here because often they're as quick to get out as they can. So I think that that's a great spot to get information, ask very comfortable environment for questions. Maybe, and sometimes we go completely off topic and talk about things that are very important at the time but might not relate directly to the position. So I think it's been valuable for departments to get to know legislators as well.
Any other questions concerning this executive power grab?
That's what I'm about.
Okay. Mr. Burke. John, please.
No. I said I'm delighted that you corrected a disparity with highway. You know, they could go months and months without ever having all the items filled. So I like it. I think your recommendations are right on target. Thank you for doing it.
Anyone else? My only concern is about the 100% funded positions. Are you going to be able to make the decision that these are not necessary? Because they may be 100% funded, but the 100% funded by the state, and we are the state. Can you speak to that?
I think that we have very honest conversations that aren't always in my favor or the department head's favor, but we discuss openly and honestly the importance of positions, and I don't have any issue. I think you can ask any of my staff. I don't have an issue saying no.
So you're saying that you wouldn't necessarily approve them carte blanche just because they're
right.
100%.
That's right.
Okay.
That, but all the recommendations don't have to be. We can go one by one. I'm not married to any of it. I just would like to make it easier on our departments, reduce the resolution count if we can with good reason, and also continue some things that I think have been going well.
So will this require resolutions or just?
I would recommend that if there's no objections to how we proceed with this, I'll prepare a resolution to consider at the board meeting. That would be a third guiding document for the vacancy process.
Okay. That would be appropriate, I think.
And then I have a director search
update.
Yeah. So we have 2¾ as he sits over there, director positions that we're looking to fill with some talented folks. The first is our emergency services director, and the interviews will take place tomorrow afternoon. So we're looking forward to, I think we have a very talented pool of 4 that I think we will have a director to recommend to the board as when we conclude those interviews and get the information for the search committee. That search committee does include 5 legislators, 3 representatives of all disciplines of emergency services, and then admin staff, including HR director, myself, and my assistant administrator. So it'll be a full house, and we have 7 applications today, as of today, for the Youth Bureau director. That application process is open until September 6th, and we will look in the month of September to review applications prior to the board meeting and get some interviews scheduled to bring a recommendation hopefully soon after that. And the director of planning is looking to retire this Friday. So I know we had some very nice comments about the work that Keith's done at our last meeting, and certainly I could spend hours talking about someone that basically I've grown up with in county government. But I would get choked up and I would be embarrassed, so I would just say that he has been a talent. He is part of, you know, the walls here, and my hope is that he will continue to bless and curse us with the good work that he does for the county. I don't know anyone that hasn't benefited from Keith's influence. Keith's been a wonderful mentor for me, and certainly many of us have good fun but get a lot of work done. So I certainly don't look forward to Friday, but I'm thrilled for Keith. So thank you. And then I just wanted to mention this Thursday, there is a request from the Government Accountability Office, that doesn't sound bureaucratic enough for everyone, who would like a conference call to take our input on Plan 2014. So we spent a lot of the summer hearing a lot about this, the challenges that we faced. They're looking, and I'll share the information with the entire board. It's a call-in number that you can both hear the conversation as well as add any input that you'd like. Audit committee met today. We had the opportunity to sit with Nicole prior to this meeting and go over a little bit more in depth on the audit. So certainly information we can share with you that I think we're all very proud of. I think we've been able to resolve some issues. Certainly proud of Renee, her staff, and our auditors for the hard work they do. Two clean audits, as you know. I don't think we can speak to that. We can go back to 05 as the last clean audit with no material weaknesses, but I don't know the last time we had two in a row. So I'm very proud of Renee and all of her staff and the work they do. They are tireless, and they are patient with me, who has no patience. But I'm thrilled with the outcome, and certainly we're going to work again to bring you a budget that we can both live with and have another audit, perhaps with different numbers, but certainly good news for you. Tomorrow is our employee appreciation event, the one you'll remember we started last summer. Out here between the two buildings from 1 to 3 is our employee appreciation event. We'll be serving ice cream to everyone. And playing some music and allowing the service pins for those folks who haven't reached 30 years, because you honor 30 plus years in November. So anyone who's exceeded 10 but not quite 30 can pick up their pins on the 5-year basis. So feel free to join us. If you're coming in for the interviews, please come in a bit early. It's always nice to visit with employees. And as I mentioned, we have some interviews tomorrow. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Ruth?
The only other thing I would request is we have a matter of importance in executive that I would like to request that both Vicki Stiles and Emily Wilson be able to stay for a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth. Next up is our committee reports. Mr. Denisha, would you talk about Cornell Cooperative Extension, please?
Briefly. Just to build on what Patrick mentioned in regards to the SNAP grant, that's $680,000 a year for 5 years. So that was an excellent job, remarkable. The BOCES Ag Studies Academy, current enrollment for the 2019-2020 school year is 18 students, which is significant. It's 11 full-day seniors, 4 morning half-day students, and 3 afternoon half-day from a total of 8 school districts. So, another success. And our next meeting is Tuesday, September 24th.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Fish and Wildlife Management Board,
Ms. Kern. The next meeting is in September, and I reported on the one that was in May or
okay.
June.
And the Cole Fisheries Advisory Board?
Next meeting is September 24th.
Okay. Governor Fair Board, Mr. Leader? Affair was successful?
Very successful.
Okay. Highway and Solid Waste Committee, Mr. Denisha?
Very little to report other than we are going, Mr. Chambers is actually attending a meeting tomorrow. About 27th at 6 p.m. in Waddington of the town highway or the town supervisors association, and we are going to be beginning negotiations shortly with the town highway departments in regards to winter road maintenance. And as chairman of the Highway Committee, I've asked Ms. Arquette to sit in on those negotiations with us.
Okay, great. So that's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock?
That's correct.
At the Riverlands?
That's correct.
So I'm planning on crashing it myself. Anybody else? Good food? Ms. Curran's going. The IDA, Mr. Reagan? The loan is for the existing operations in Sue Mendes' raise. It's primarily, this is Sue Mendes' raise, is what we're talking about. Okay. Thank you, Jim. Recreational Trails Advisory Board. Tony?
Thank you. Following the recent opening of the 37 miles in the central section of trail, we met last Friday to begin strategizing on the southwestern part. We're taking a look at the DeGrasse area and in and around there to try to get us over to Lewis County. So ongoing efforts. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. RBRDA, Mr. Forsyth. Okay. Chamber of Commerce, Nancy? Ms. Arquette, Chamber of Commerce? Can we hear you?
There has been a meeting, I'm not reported.
Okay, thank you. Soil and Water, John, Mr. Burke.
Aaron from Soil and Water completed the hazard project for the county highway department right away. It covered not just the ash trees that are infected, but also other trees that were perceived to be a hazard. They met with Highway last Tuesday, and I believe there are going to be some follow-up meetings to try to decide where to go from that report. They, Cooperative Extension and Soil and Water co-hosted a soil health field day this past month. It was at the McKnight Farm. It was well attended, and there was positive reviews.
Okay,
that's about it.
So I think that ash mitigation had a price tag around $6 million. Is that correct, Mr. Chambers? So, Mr. Lightfoot. Go ahead.
Okay. Just to report to the board that as the as a member of the Fort Drum Regional Liaison Organization, I was invited this past Saturday to represent St. Lawrence County at a ceremony involving the moving wall. I attended that ceremony. It was a very touching ceremony. Believe me, it was. And there was a reading of the 60 St. Lawrence County members of the military that were killed in Vietnam. I gotta tell you, bring a tear to your eye. It was very touching, and it brought a tear to my eye. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. Anyone else? Okay, thank you for attending. For old and new business, we have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with St. Lawrence County North Country Events Incorporated for consultation on the development of an application for a permit to hold a public gathering. Motion by Ms. Curran, second by Ms. Denisha and Mr. Perkins. Discussion? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Need a motion to go into the executive session to discuss negotiations, litigation. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Curran.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
she's that jumping again. All four of the categories?
Yes.
So for all four of the categories listed on your agenda, I would entertain a motion for executive, Mr. Fay, seconded by Mr. Forsyth. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion, okay. Motion accepted. Need the twins to say, okay.
Vicki and Emily, would you please stay?